This scripture reading comes to us from Romans 10, 12 through 17. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Well, it's good to see you guys again this Sunday morning. See faces here and there. It's fun to see those who are joining us from a distance. I think I prayed for those joining us in Romania and Georgia and Ohio, but also we have, I believe, Florida and Kentucky joining us as well. I might be missing somebody, but we're glad that you're here with us. We are continuing our series in the life-giving authority of the Word. And I have experienced in this time more of a reminder of the need for the Word of God with all the things going on, and have been encouraged by our scripture reading plan that we're doing together. And I've heard from many of you that that's been the case as well. I hope that continues to be the case. And as we talk about the Word, I hope that we're encouraged more and more in the life that it offers. This morning, we're talking about the necessity of the Word of God. This week, we finally received an order that we placed at the beginning of all of this. We made a mental health decision that we were going to get an elliptical machine. And it finally came on Monday. It was my day off, and I spent a good bit of it putting this machine together. It took three of us just to get it in the door, and then we had to unbox it and then take all the parts upstairs. And it was kind of fun. I enjoy putting things together, so I enjoyed it. But I absolutely needed the instructions to tell me what to do. I wasn't going to get it otherwise. And that was even with a lot of things already put together. Many of the pieces that I was adding on had already been manufactured and connected. And I needed directions to be able to end up with a working elliptical machine that we're able to exercise with. And without that, it would still be a mess sitting upstairs, not being able to be used. There's a sense in which all illustrations fall apart, maybe this one fairly quickly, as we think about the necessity of the Word of God. It's not directing us, hey, do this and everything will fit together perfectly. It's actually directing us to a relationship. It's directing us to know how to be in relationship specifically with the Creator of the world. And that all of us, in the midst of great need that we have, and we're seeing some more of that need happen now in the midst of this pandemic, we have our greatest need that Scripture tells us again and again is the fact that our relationship with our Creator is broken, that there is a divide there, and that we need that mended, and that the Word of God contained in the Scriptures that we have before us is what God gives us to reveal himself and allow us to be in that relationship. We talked last week about the resurrection. We celebrated that on Easter. And we recognize that even as Paul talked about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, the passage that we looked at, he talked about it as a part of the word that he preached to them, to the Corinthian church, that they needed the revelation of God, of himself, and even specifically the revelation of for those that came after the experience of the disciples, the apostles, those that met with Jesus, those that saw him risen from the dead, that they needed a proclamation. They needed to hear the story of the resurrection, that it was a need that they had, and it continues to be a need that all people have throughout time. It is a need that we have. as we look at this passage in Romans 10, we're going to see two things. We're going to see the necessity that the Word of God is necessary for our greatest need, and that then flowing from that, it affects all of our needs. So it's necessary for our greatest needs, and it's necessary really for all of life. Let me pray for us, and we'll take a look. Lord, we do pray that you would allow this time to be a time in which you work through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God is necessary for our greatest need. Already, as we think about the power of the resurrection, we recognize that power, that necessity of the fact that Jesus has conquered death itself, that we know that that's true because the word of God reveals it. We know that it's true as Paul talks about it here in a few verses before we start in verse 12. We find in verse 9 that there is a necessity to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So here again, we have the importance of the resurrection. It's this thing that is proclaimed, that is declared as having happened. And we need to know that in order to believe in it, in order to confess, in order to trust in it. This is what is necessary for what Paul describes as salvation. Verse 13, Ken read, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And that does beg the question, saved from what? We've already talked about it a bit here. And you may have heard this idea, Jesus saves. I remember there was an interstate in the state of Alabama that I drove a number of times, and there was just a big billboard that says, "Jesus saves." And I believe that's true. I think we find that here, but we need to know what he saves from. And we find that he saves us from death. He saves us from ourselves. He saves us from ultimately this fact that we are separated from God, that we have broken relationship with him. And he is saving us into relationship with him, into the forgiveness of our sin, into a right relationship with the Creator. That's what's offered in the Word of God. We talk about it's life-giving, the authority of the Word. It gives us real and true life. And we long for that. Again, the Scripture, the Word, paints this as our greatest need, this need to be affirmed, to be accepted, to be forgiven. Because to be loved and accepted and cared for, to be brought into the family is to be done so in spite of our failures, in spite of our lacking. But the beautiful message of the gospel is that that's exactly what Jesus does. We recognize that. We intuit not the answer, but the need. Our need to be accepted. Our need to be given the okay. Over these weeks, Libby and I and then some of the other family join in watching The Amazing Race. And I've loved this show because I like to travel. And it's a show that follows teams of two around the world. And they have tasks. And they have to find their way from the airport to random places and cities around the world. And they have to do different things, either as individuals or as a team. And often in these tasks that they have and the challenges that they have, there's a judge, and the judge will tell them whether or not they get the okay. And it's often tense. So maybe the task is you have to do this dance in a particular way. You have to sing a song. We've often talked about it'd be fun to go on The Amazing Race. The singing part and the fact that they're singing challenges often gives me some level of pause. But they're waiting at the end of the task to hear the judge say, "Yes, you accomplished it. Now you can move on to the next part of the race." And sometimes it's tense because they're competing with the other teams, and they call for a judge. "Judge, come over." And you can see their response when either they are judged to have completed it well and they celebrate and rejoice, or if they are told that it is not up to the standard. And you can see the reactions that they have. We understand, even if we're not on a race, the desire to be judged as acceptable. And maybe it's to be loved and cared for by our parents or our children or it's to get that affirmation from a boss to say, you've done a good job. Maybe it's you get a promotion, or you can move on to the next part of your job. Or maybe it's you want to be affirmed by a school to get into a school. We all have this innate desire to be accepted. Maybe there's a particular person that we want to say, well done, or I accept you or love you. But what Scripture tells us again and again is that our greatest need for acceptance, to hear that, yes, I accept you, I love you, I care for you, I draw you into relationship with me, is for that to be the case with our Father, with the Creator. That's the salvation that we need. And what Paul is telling us here is that that need is met in Jesus. It is the word of Christ, verse 17. But we must hear that word. It is through hearing the word of Christ. You see this line of progression, as there is this promise for everyone who believes. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, verse 13. But notes that there's some things necessary. For them to call, they have to believe. For them to believe, they have to hear. For them to hear, it has to be preached. And for someone to preach, they have to be sent. There's this progression of God at work. God sending forth his word, sending forth his people to proclaim the word, then people hearing it, believing it, and then calling on the name of the Lord. But clearly, what is at play here is the necessity of the word of God. And here we have it before us, this proclamation of the hope that comes in Jesus, the proclamation of the resurrection, the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins, all these beautiful things that God offers us. We know those things. We know that Christ died for us and rose for us because the word of God tells us. We don't intuit those things. We intuit the problem. We know in our hearts that there's something wrong, but we don't just think, you know what? Jesus, the Son of God, come to earth as a human being, died for us and rose from the dead. We actually need the word of God to tell us this is true. And so it does again and again and again. Last week, as we looked at 1 Corinthians 15, Paul proclaims that message of the gospel again, the death for the forgiveness of our sins, the resurrection of Jesus to conquer death. That was for us. It's consistent with all of Scripture, as we've talked about in our series, the fact that just that God speaks to us at all, that Jesus loves the word of God and believes in the word of God, and that the word of God believes in him, that it offers life, and that other words that we are tempted to believe, ultimately our own, do not offer life. We see that right now in our scripture reading plan that we're in the middle of. We're in the book of Acts, and we see as the church grows that the proclamation of the gospel is going forward. That they're proclaiming these words, that this is what happened, that this is who Jesus is, and this is what he did, that he died, that he rose from the dead, and this is for our salvation. So that Paul says here, as he quotes from Isaiah, that how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. They're beautiful because they bring life and they bring hope. They bring that salvation that is offered. So there's an encouragement to turn again and again and again to the word of God for that salvation that we need. And this is true if we have believed this and trusted in God and found salvation in him. We see this picture of salvation as ongoing, that we have been saved, that we're being saved, that we will be saved ultimately when all things are made right, but that all of those things happen through this power of the word of God, that we need the word. And it's true that if it meets these greatest needs, that it actually has application for all of our needs, for all that goes on in our lives. If it meets the greatest, it meets them all. In different ways, certainly, we have needs, but we are continually turning to him. We're tempted to look in other places. We're tempted to not think that we need the word. Maybe we think that we don't need it for salvation, that it's just a good and encouraging thing for us. But we find here in this passage, we find in other places that this is absolutely not the case. John 6, verse 68, Jesus is recognizing that there are many who are rejecting him. And Peter begins to interact with him. And Jesus says, are you going to follow me? Are you going to go somewhere else? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. the passage that we read earlier is our confession, this scripture memory passage from John 14 that we're all memorizing together in this month. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And certainly this is a challenge in our culture that says there are many ways. It's all good. It's all the same. It's all going the same place. That's not what Jesus is saying. It's contrary to the claims of Jesus Christ himself. This is a word that is necessary for salvation, that Jesus is necessary. Now, we might even recognize that, and yet we might think that, yes, I've experienced salvation, but our temptation is to think, well, the word isn't really necessary beyond that. I've got what I need for this greatest need, but then the word just isn't that needed in my life. And I know I'm tempted to live in that way, to think that I don't really need God's word, that I can survive on my own, that I can get by, I can have my needs met, I can deal with the problems that I have by trusting in my own power or the power of this world. And those things that we find hope in, those things are being challenged more and more now. These stories that tell us that hope is found in our finances, in the comfort, in the American way of life, those things are all being challenged right now in the midst of being faced with this pandemic, with being faced with the loss of so much. And it's a reminder of what is really true in this world. It's that we might be able to find our hope where only true hope is found, hope that comes even in light of death itself, which is something that many are faced with, the experience of the loss of a loved one or the challenge and the possibility that we might face it ourselves because of the coronavirus. Or it makes us think about all the other ways in which we have our hopes threatened. And here, in this moment, we are reminded that true hope comes in the resurrection power of Jesus, and it is proclaimed in his word. My hope is that in this time, we've talked about this a lot, but it's a helpful reminder for me, for my own heart, but for all of us, that the word is what brings us hope now. And there is opportunity here in the midst of being at home, of having less things to do. Many of us certainly can be very busy at home, but my hope is that you find time to go to the word, which we need, and to find hope in it. And I have experienced myself, and I have talked to multiple of folks that are on these screens that have experienced the hope, that have found it encouraging that in God's providence, we find ourselves right now in the midst of a scripture reading plan together, so that we've read Luke and reading Acts and we've read much of Genesis and many of the Psalms together, that's been an encouragement to you in this time. And what we need to be reminded of is that's true all the time. My hope is that we experience it uniquely now, that we can find the hope in the fact that God's word tells us we should be expecting these things. This isn't a surprise for us. If you happen to see the video that I sent out or that went out with our Wednesday email, it talked about the fact that the word of God gives us encouragement to bring our grief and our lament to him. And within that, it offers us hope. We looked at Psalm 13 and the fact that David cries out to God and he says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? But he goes on to, in the midst of that, to crying out, to not knowing what God is doing, to bringing his loss and his lament and his grief to the Lord, he also says that he trusts in the Lord, that he finds hope in the fact that God provides salvation. He provides hope through his word. David as well gives great hope in his trust in the word of God, which we have seen as we looked at Psalm 19, as we think about Psalm 119. There is hope that comes in the word of God, even in the midst of all of the struggle. To go to the Lord, to recognize our need of him, is to experience his word that he gives us, saying, here is where truth is revealed. Here is the way that you experience relationship with me, and we all need that relationship with him. Whether we've trusted in him for years, or whether we're just now thinking about, should we trust in him? The way that we experience that trust, the way that we put our needs at his feet is to come before him in his word that he gives us and says, you need this. You need this for life. You need this for flourishing. But he offers it to us. There is no Jew or Greek, he says in verse 12. It is for all that would trust in his Lord, that would receive this word that we need. May we all find our hope. May we all find our needs met in the word of God. Let me pray. Lord, we do pray that you would allow us to find our hope in the word that does meet our needs, that we need desperately. May we, Lord, recognize that in our desperate need of you, that you offer hope to us in your word. We thank you for that hope that is given. We thank you for that life that is offered. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.